Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a good afternoon. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Bleck and Abdallah are here as well. And as always, we want to hear from you at 312-332-3776. 332-ESPN. To have your voice heard. You know, the last 24 hours has been unlike any 24 hours, probably of our lifetime, Waddle, that we've ever seen or that we've ever, you know, have been old enough to consume. I was born in 71, and in the 13-plus years of us being on the show, never have we seen games being canceled.
That's historic.
We'll always remember, you know, the summer of 2020, and for many different reasons and a lot of bad reasons as well, and athletes are trying to do things where these things won't happen in the future.
Listen, they're trying to use their platform, and my goodness, do I salute all of them, whether it was the NBA yesterday, the WNBA, which I believe has been more proactive than any of the professional sports leagues going back in time, to Major League Baseball teams deciding to do what they did. There have been several NFL teams that have decided not to practice. We saw that on Tuesday from the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions were the first team that decided that, you know, it was in their best interest, or what they felt strongly, they felt most strongly about, was not practicing and actually stepping in front of the facility and actually meeting and talking about the situation. So it has reverberated throughout the entire sports landscape. Naomi Osaka, who is the, I want to say she's still the number one player on tour in tennis, women's tennis. She refused to play. And then as soon as she said, like, listen, I'm a black woman before I am a tennis player, and I'm not going to play tomorrow, then I believe the tour decided to stand behind her, and they decided to postpone the tournament, which I believe is in Cincinnati right now. So
you're right.
With what you're saying, I guess the point of me rambling is that this is a historic moment, especially in the world of sports, where teams have and sports have decided that life is more important than a game. And they're very, very emphatic about getting their feelings across and trying to help enact change.
There are many meetings going on currently with the NBA. No games tonight. They have been canceled / postponed as well. And Woj has been working the story as he always works every story. And it's sounding like maybe this weekend is when games will return. And they want to talk to owners about, like, how, like, real change, how to get real change. But, like, this conversation has advanced greatly since Colin Kaepernick. You know, before it was a matter of, hey, what about athletes pointing out what's going on by taking a knee? Right. And it went from taking a knee during the anthem and playing to not playing at all and saying, okay, now there are no games. Are you paying attention to what's going on right now? And something that Jason Hayward did yesterday right at the end of the show, and, you know, it's a very nuanced conversation. That's the way we work on the Waddle and Sylvie show. And I threw it to you right away, like, when I got that, I said to Gene Greco, then I looked to you, and I said, well, how is this going to be consumed that Jason Hayward is sitting, but yet the Cubs are playing? And we had already knew that the Bucks weren't playing, and the rest of the NBA had been canceled, and then the Brewers and Reds canceled their games. So with Jason Hayward, who is one of the most respected players in that clubhouse and has been, he is a leader on and off the field. Like, did the Cubs do the right thing last night? And are they thinking today with, like, because a lot of people have said, you know what? They didn't have a lot of time. They only had a half hour. If they were on the West Coast, like the Dodgers, maybe they would have handled it like the Dodgers.
I think the Brewers and the Reds were in the same time frame, weren't they? Or close
they
to the same time
frame?
They were,
like what Jesse has said to me is, like, they were in the epicenter of what's happening. It's what Jason Hayward said. He termed it, you know, ground zero. But Kenosha, you know, is you know, right in our backyard as well.
I'm closer to Kenosha where I live than I am to downtown Chicago. That's how close we are.
Right. And again, like, I hate preaching. I'm the first to admit on all these, like, these are issues that I don't have all the answers to.
I don't like to try. In normal circumstances, I think it's inappropriate for me to tell people what they should do, I guess, is the best way to describe how I feel about it. So I think that it's up to the individual in a lot of cases.
But I felt the way I felt, and I'm not wagging my finger at the Cubs. I'm not saying you should have done it this way or this is what, like, again, the phrase that everyone is saying is there's no playbook for this. There isn't. I just my instinct is today, guys inside that clubhouse would probably want a do-over.
It's an interesting question.
And I felt like the probably the right thing to do is where Jason Hayward is an African-American man. He's a black man in the United States today. And to have him take that game off and I know he told them not to play. I know all this. I know. But I've also known other times in life where someone tells you to do one thing and do they really mean it? Or at least even if they do mean it, should you still do the other thing? And I felt like they should have stood with their teammate yesterday. I'm not telling you that they are absolutely positively wrong, just my gut instinct. Again, without preaching, without wagging my finger, is I felt as a Cubs fan a little bit itchy and scratchy over all.
And that's fair. And I think it's a fair question to ask the Cubs today if they had a chance to do it over again and ask David Ross and others in the organization, would they do it differently? I would say this to you on that front, and I'm not disputing what you're saying at all. These are all really difficult questions to answer in some way. Some of the questions that are asked are very easy to answer, and some aren't. I would say to you, I have a hard time telling Anthony Rizzo that he disrespected Jason Hayward. You know what I'm saying? Because, like,
I'm not even phrasing it as a disrespect.
No, I know you're not.
The way I look at it is today in 2020 with racism. When you have a black man who is speaking out because of racism, that the last thing he needs to be, that he needs to be, is isolated. Do you know that's the problem in this world? Is here's the black man and here's everybody else.
And I know what you're saying.
We need to be fighting together. And I'm not telling you that Anthony Rizzo disrespected him or any of that. I'm not a preachy guy, and I am never in absolute with all this, and I'm open to listening and everything. I'm just telling you what my gut was saying.
Yeah. No, and listen, again, I was not suggesting that was what your inference was. I could sit here and have this conversation and look at it from a number of different angles. I can sit here and tell you the Chicago Cubs as a team should not have put that decision on Jason Hayward, like, for him to tell you what to do. Like, I totally understand that perspective. Like, you shouldn't put that pressure on him to tell him to tell you what the right thing to do. You understand what I'm saying on that
sure.
front?
Sure, right. David Ross admitted that people came into his office and they were uncomfortable. And then they brought Jason back for a second time. He said, no, I want you guys to play. And I know he says that. And I know he probably meant that. The dude's one of the best guys there is, at least from what we know. Yeah. Do we truly know people? We're finding out we truly don't know everybody.
Just saying to you that I feel pretty strongly that Anthony Rizzo and Jason Kipnis and John Lester and Kyle Hendricks and the whole group of the Cubs that have been remarkably together on a lot of different issues. Now, this is different than being disciplined in a COVID pandemic, but the discipline and the team-oriented approach that they have shown leads me to believe that this is a tight-knit group. And They made a decision, and you know, I say this all the time, and it's not an excuse, but players just internally, their desire is to play. So if there is any, there any question at all, I think that they probably err on the side, I'm going to play, I'm with you, but I'm going to play because that's what I do. I'm not telling you that's right. I'm not telling you that's wrong. I do wonder if they feel collectively that they made the wrong decision.
Can I play you some sound? There's
sure.
a couple of things I'd like to play you. And I want to play everything that Hayward had to say. But there's a couple of things on this topic that just stood out to me. Like, and I love David Ross. I think David Ross has a very unique perspective with them because he was a player with them. He was inside that clubhouse in Game 7 of the World Series when Jason Hayward stood up and organized that meeting. And he understands as a player, they played together in Atlanta. They played together and won together in Chicago, and now he's his manager. And they had the personal conversation. And Chris, if you could play Ross too, and this stood out to me, like why didn't he go as far, David Ross, as he could have with talking to the other team? David Ross, and again, I'm not telling you that David Ross is wrong. I'm never going to wag a finger in this issue because we're all learning. We're trying to learn. We're trying to be better. But this was David Ross after the game yesterday.
I had talked to Jay about him discussing some things with their players, and I was trying to get Guardy's number. I almost called him across, you know, before the game, and I didn't. And you know, I didn't. I don't have his number. I probably could have gotten it pretty fast. This literally all happened right before. I mean, probably at the, I think he's in my office probably 30 minutes for a game time, suited up, and he was ready to go. Like, you know, and so this is to what he said. This was all kind of thrown everybody's way last second.
Totally get it. Yeah. But why didn't you get Guardy's number? Why didn't you walk over? Why didn't you tell the umps, look, I feel rushed here. I want to make the right. This is a bigger than life moment. And then, like, I watched the Dodgers do what they did. So I heard the Cubs, and again, it's really hard. These are really hard conversations. And if you could play Chris Clayton Kershaw yesterday on why the Dodgers, like Mookie Betts said the exact same thing to the Dodgers, and they had more time.
Yeah.
So I keep laying that out. Mookie Betts said the same thing to the Dodgers. I'm out, you guys play. I'm out, you guys play. And Clayton Kershaw on why the Dodgers decided not to play.
Well, I think, you know, more than anything, you know, as a teammate of Mookie's, as a, you know, member of this team with Doc and George and Trav and Kenny and all these guys, as a white player on this team, is how can we show support? What's something tangible that we can do to help our black brothers on this team? And, you know, once Mookie said that he wasn't going to play, that really started our conversation as a team, is what we can do to support that. We felt the best thing to do was to support that and not playing with him. And Mookie was great about saying, if you guys want to play, I support that. And, but we made a group decision to not play tonight and to let our voices be heard for standing up for what we believe is right. And that's what it comes down to. We just wanted to do the right thing as a team. And I think the first step in that was by not playing tonight.
Now, maybe it's the difference is Waddle the time.
Yeah, and maybe if the Cubs had more time to think about this, that they would have chosen a different path. The same way you could ask the same question to the NHL. They went along and they played their games last night. They've postponed tonight's playoff games.
Okay.
So, listen, I think you make a very valid point, and I wouldn't dismiss your thought. And maybe every one of them to a man today would say, you know what? If I had to do it all over again, I would have decided not to play, or we should have decided collectively not to play. I don't know how they would respond.
I don't know if I'm right. That's how I just feel in my gut. I'm never going to shake my finger at David Ross. I can't be in that situation to understand and to fully grasp and to be Anthony Rizzo. These are really tough conversations. And Hayward did say to play, but I just felt. That's what I felt in my gut that I liked what the Dodgers said. I wish Ross would have gone the extra mile, talked to the Tigers. What's the right, even if it's delayed for 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, everyone would have understood. So here's the question. I mean, Cubs fans, how do you feel the Cubs handled it yesterday. Do you believe today, with more time, that the Cubs wish they had a do-over? Whether it was David Ross, is it up to the manager, or is this a player's decision, like Clayton Kershaw said? Mookie Betts said the same thing as Jason Hayward. But the two teams made a different decision. 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls. We'll listen as we continue to do. We'll also talk some White Sox today as they are they're white hot. And Chuck Garfine is going to join us. Wilbon wasn't able to join us yesterday. He is going to hop on today to tell us what's going on with the NBA and his thoughts on all of this. We're open to your phone call. We're open to discussion. And we want to hear from you at 332-3776.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Did the Cubs do the right thing last night? Do they wish they had a do-over if they had more time? More time to think about it and stood with Jason Hayward? As you know, from what we know. And Jay Hay says he's going to try and join us on Monday.
I'm having a microphone problem currently, so just bear with me.
Yeah, okay. And let me look on Twitch. Remember, you could join us on not only by listening on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch Waddle try to deal with his limp microphone at twitch.tv.
I just switched over to.
It's not limp. No. It's just not turning on. No, he's not getting any production out of it.
So the functionality of the microphone is the problem, not the looks.
Yeah. You know, it needs to be looked at by a doctor.
Yeah.
I need to see that.
Welcome to everyone in the Twitch chat room today. That's the thing. That's cool about Twitch. It's what I've always liked about Twitter, too. It's a good way to interact with our listeners and find out what's on their mind. And Twitch is cool because you could see in real time as I watch Waddle try to deal with his microphone. And he's already Waddle has a problem and then the engineer just comes running. That's the thing.
That's not true.
Waddle's got an issue.
No, Lynn has been here all day.
And here comes
trying
an engineer.
To fix stuff. No.
Yeah.
No, no. This has been going on for a while now. We're trying to get the equipment up to speed, brother.
If I was in there back in the day
and I said,
I got a microphone problem, someone would say, monkey wrench.
Back
yeah.
in the day, you would have taken one of these bobbleheads and thrown it at somebody. That would have been your behavior.
Yeah, so a lot of people interacting
Abdallah,
with us.
Call an engineer.
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Yeah.
Is where you could interact.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of sound I want to play with Jason Hayward. Theo from when he was on us. I hate when people preach. It's really hard conversation. I mean, you see it all the time on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to preach to anybody. I'm just telling you what I felt in my heart, my gut, and I just felt like the Cubs should have stood with Jason Hayward last night. But I understand what they're saying. I listened to their response yesterday, and I want to hear from you. Did they make the right call at 312-332-3776?
My first response quickly is that's an individual decision for them to make. This is different. I try to compare it, and it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. The decision of a player going back to standing or kneeling for the national anthem. And I've always used the example Chris Long, who was definitely supportive of the cause. When Malcolm Jenkins, their safety, took a knee, Chris would put his hand on his shoulder. So they both would play the game, but they had different approaches to the national anthem and how they handled it, but they were supportive of each other. This is different because there's no, you're either playing the game or you're not playing the game. Do you understand what I mean? So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. So, I guess the point is it, which makes it more difficult to me, is because I've always said, hey, listen, I support Chris Long. I support Malcolm Jenkins. I think that what they did in tandem was totally cool. And I think anyone you've talked to on this topic have said, listen, you don't need to kneel to support me. Just understand and don't be dismissive of my words and of my cause. And like, I just think that this is a harder determination to make because I don't believe that Anthony Rizzo and Jason Kipnis and others are being dismissive of Jay Hay. But I do think you make an excellent point. And with the benefit of hindsight and how it looks and where we are right now, you're right. It just feels different.
Feel right, especially with that guy.
Yes.
That guy who means so much. And again, the last thing we need to do is isolate. We need to be in this together. And I don't know.
Maybe Jay Hay said to Anthony Rizzo or the other guys, listen, I strongly want you to play.
He did.
So did
Mookie Betts.
I can't fault Anthony Rizzo and the other guys for not playing. And I get what you're saying. I don't think anybody's condemning them, or some people may. I'm not going to condemn them. I think that, you know, change is hard. Learning is something we still do as adults. And it's a difficult question to answer. But I am interested to know whether or not, with the benefit of hindsight, that collectively they feel like they missed an opportunity to be even more supportive of Jason.
Dan in Barrington, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. Hey, Sylvie, I love you, but respectfully, if this isn't you preaching and ragging your finger, I would hate to hear when you are, because I think what you are doing to these Cubs players right now is disgraceful, and I think Hayward will tell you that on Monday. And here's the thing. If I was Jason Hayward and I told them to play and they did, I'd have no issue with it. Sylvie, here's a bigger deal. How about getting rid of the racist owner and his dad and his brother in Nebraska? Don't you think that would mean more to Jason than having your team owned by a family full of racists? Why don't you talk about that? Thanks,
well, Dan,
buddy.
Dan, it's an interesting point because Abdallah, and I want to give Abdallah the floor at 2:30 to talk about that, because the history here with what they've dealt with and given second chances to doesn't look good. It doesn't. There's a long line here. But again, I'm not telling Anthony Rizzo he's wrong. I'm just telling you what I felt in my gut.
Right.
That's all I'm doing. Yeah. I'm saying they played. Something just fell off to me about it. I thought
this is the furthest thing, in my opinion, from you wagging a finger at anybody.
Yeah, and Sylvie, I understand what you're saying. But also, and I said this last night with Chris, and I'll say it again for people that didn't hear us last night, that I'm not trying to preach, but as a Cubs fan, there has been a history in recent years that is tough to go along with. You know, you look at from when they bought the team and the emails from the Ricketts, and as a Muslim, how that what they said they would do and then didn't fulfill that promise, at least to me as a Muslim. And then you get into them keeping Addison Russell on the roster. And then you get into people had a problem with them bringing in Chapman. And then you get into, what they've been doing around the neighborhood and some people and hiring practices and that kind of stuff, that some, you know, people unionizing and that kind of stuff that some people have a problem with there. And then that was all separate, right? Like, you could always be like, hey, yeah, but that has nothing to do with Rizzo and Baez and Hayward and John Lester. And like, those guys aren't part of that. Those guys are, it's separate. And now this kind of brings it together. And I get it. And I'm not taking away from anything that Jason Hayward said or what his players, or what the other players said and how they want to continue to play and how he wanted them to play. But I thought this was an all or nothing thing. I thought that as a team, either we all go or none of us go.
All for one.
I thought that the guy who led them in the rain delay speech in Game 7 of the World Series, that they might have had his back. And I'm not saying that they didn't have his back, because he said that they did and he wanted them to go play. I'm not saying that. But to me, it would have been a bigger move if they all would have just said, we know you want us to go play, but we're in this with you, and we'll make up the game against the Tigers on another day, whether it's tomorrow or later in the year. It's not that big of a deal. And I thought that, and all these guys are great guys. Like, we've had all a bunch of the Cubs players on, and a lot of them are great guys.
All are very interactive in the community and help
out.
Great causes.
Absolutely. John Lester lives in the neighborhood. He's a great guy by all accounts. You know, I've seen him out there with his family and everything. He's a great dude. But ultimately, I just felt like it would have been the bigger move to say, if you don't want us out there, like, if you're not going to play, we're going to do this with you, because
the one thing, Lester wasn't a part of any of the decision making, because he was out in the bullpen working.
Yeah, of course.
So 312-332-3776. Derek, I know we're going to get to Derek. We're going to get to Sean. I want to hear from you. I'm just trying to tell you how I felt. I'm not saying that I'm right or wrong or they should have. I would have liked to seen it that way. There's a lot to get to. Theo Epstein himself was in our interview with him back in early July, said that change needed to happen inside the organization.
Right.
You'll hear from Theo coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
I want to play you some Theo Epstein when he joined us back in early July about the need for the Cubs to change, for him to change. He's pointed that out. He did it during the draft. He mentioned it after George Floyd. And we're discussing this again. Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals. Remember, the Cardinals played too.
Yes.
Yesterday. And he just tweeted earlier this hour in all caps, "We are the only sport playing today. Let that sink in." So, you know, so a lot of these he played yesterday. And, you know, again, this is a bigger issue. It's hard for these people. That's why I'm not going to wag my finger. But people are saying that it sounds like I am preaching. I'm just telling you how I feel in my gut.
I think one of the Reds pitchers also said last night when they did not play their game with the Milwaukee Brewers, both teams decided not to play. One of the Reds relievers said, we have voted as a team, I believe, to play tomorrow. So we will be on the field tomorrow, but tonight is not the right time.
Derek, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Derek?
Sylvie, don't be so hard on yourself, man. My grandfather fought in the Korean War, and he told me that in life, the right thing to do is the hardest thing to do. So if you got to preach for everybody to see that we all are one kind, and that's mankind of the human race, then preach on, brother, because me as a black man know that we can't do it by ourselves. If you don't say something, if we don't have you guys speaking up, taking the front line, we won't be able to get this message. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to do it like a disease and attack it like it's COVID-19 together, and it's going to be uncomfortable. There's no such thing as a perfect protest. So, you know, Jackie Robinson went through it. This is just the 2020 part of it, the Jim Crow era. So I just want to appreciate you for calling it out. I'm not disrespecting the Cubs. I love them, Rizzo and all those guys. But you never get a second chance to make the right decision. You know, we are brothers. You stand with your brother, especially in all righteousness and devilment. And I thank you guys for taking my call. I just want to hear what you guys have to say after that.
Derek, thank you,
Derek. No, I think it's a strong statement. I do. Like I said, I think these are nuanced conversations. I can understand exactly what your feeling was when you saw it happen. And I'm looking forward to talking to Jason. I think Jason said that hopefully we'll talk to him on Monday.
Right.
And get
right.
a better feel for where he was and just how he felt about his teammates doing what they decided to do. And I'd be interested to hear from the team, as I said earlier, to see if they have regrets and whether or not they would have done it the same way. I was also saying quickly that, you know, maybe with the benefit of time, they would have all decided to talk about this and make a different decision.
Right. And I keep saying that Jesse brought that up. That
I mean, it was getaway day, right?
Yeah.
In Detroit.
Right.
And they were about to play about a half hour, 40 minutes afterwards. It's been one of these years where everything is strange and strained and everything because of what has transpired. So I don't know. Again, I know it sounds like I'm making an excuse for them. I just think that it's a nuanced conversation. I wouldn't want anyone to jump to conclusions as to, you know, the what's in the hearts of some of his Cubs teammates.
Let me play you this from Theo. Theo joins us often. He's great and always open and candid. And, Chris, you pulled this from the end of the interview. This is him talking about how the Cubs need to have a change, correct?
Yeah, you introduced the question by saying, Theo, during the MLB draft, you were very vocal after George Floyd's death. you were at the forefront of the conversation, and Theo kind of went from there. Here it is.
That was not really an effort to go to the forefront. It was an attempt to say things that I feel needed to be said. And for me, talking about specifically about minority representation in front offices and how much we lag as an industry in that regard, and how much we lag here as an organization at the Cubs in that regard, it was something I wanted to point out and then take personal responsibility for it too. I think by calling myself out and, being secure enough really to talk about the reality that we all carry unconscious biases, whether we like it or not, and that very few of us are intentional enough about promoting diversity, equality, and inclusion when it comes to hiring and other decisions. That holds me accountable publicly going forward, which I think is important, and which we should all put ourselves in a position to be held accountable. And B, I think just given the fact that some of the teams I've been with have had some success and whatnot, I think it my words, I knew they'd get out there a little bit, and it also might, who knows, it might cause some other executives in the game to also look inside and ponder their own potential unconscious biases and whether they're being intentional enough in their hiring practices and becoming part of the solution for diversity and inclusion and equality. And so I think both of those things are good. So I really saw no downside to speaking out, and except that words alone are not enough, and that, at this time that we're all looking inward and we're all listening and we're all learning, the time is certainly now to turn those words into actions. And that process is well underway, for me personally, and then here at the Cubs and in the industry. So this is an inflection point in history, and shame on us if we don't take advantage of it and create more of a level playing field that everyone deserves. And I'll say this too. I think that, we're spending every day talking about the coronavirus with the players and the importance of understanding that every individual's behavior has dramatic impacts on those around him. Even words too, especially with the coronavirus behavior. If you make bad decisions, if you're irresponsible, that doesn't just impact you. It impacts all your teammates and all their and their families and their careers. And in that regard, I think the two major topics surrounding in the country right now and surrounding the game right now, the coronavirus and social justice and systemic racism, they have that in common. Because as you think about the issue of racism in our society and in baseball, an important first step is understanding how much one's own behaviors and attitudes and unconscious biases and words impact those, impact one's teammates and impact the culture of an organization, and whether every single person can feel as welcome as they should be walking the clubhouse doors or the front office doors on a given day. So, we're already in this mindset of really enhancing our focus on and our awareness of the impact of our own actions, which I think is a great state to be in. It's how we grow as people and grow as a society. So I think trying to apply that not just to the coronavirus, because it's an acute issue right in front of our face, but also to the issue of social justice and ending racism is a really productive place to be. And I think that's where we are as an organization right now.
I wrote down three quotes in there, Waddle, that I did remember correctly, is when Theo said words are not enough. Mm-hmm. We could all denounce racism. Words are not enough. And that's where did Theo get involved yesterday? Did Theo say, guys, it's probably bad if Jay Hay's not going to play, and we got to stand together on this. This words being with him is not enough. And then he also said, shame on us if we don't follow through. And then at the end there, he said, we've got to be aware of our actions, that the actions are what are is what we're going to be judged on. And And they played. And again, I'm not ever going to tell Rizzo he was wrong, or David Ross as a rookie manager a half hour before the game. Hey, here's the way you do this. Here's how you handle this.
Right.
We don't even know how to handle a show these days,
right.
You know, talking about this. How? So I get it. I give them all leeway in this. I just feel like with hindsight, maybe 24 hours later, I wouldn't be shocked if they wanted a do-over.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'd be, like I said, I'm curious as to how they would respond to that question if they felt like, if given the chance, would they do it differently?
All right. I want to take some calls. So Sean and Melvin and others, 312-332-3776. We'll get to some calls. I still got to tell you about my top 20 Cubs list.
Oh, that's right.
Which we got to do that and give away a $50 gift card.
It's another old guy?
To Great Clips. I gotta look to see who's today. What number are we up to? 11?
Is it your list or is it old time baseball voice guys?
Well, 11.
Oh boy. Oh boy. We've got an oh boy today.
Oh yeah.
Get ready, Black. Get ready, Abdallah.
Somebody's gonna get their ears boxed.
Yeah. And then also, we'll address what Brian Urlacher has been saying on social media at 3. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it at 3. It's Waddle and Sylvie. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at the Home Loan Expert. Mortgage interest rates are in the twos, and the savings are in the hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands of dollars a month with an easy refinance. Check them out today. Ryan Kelly and thehomeloanexpert.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Turn it up. 332-3776. Talking about the Cubs playing last night. A lot of, Jesse texted us too about what we brought up in the last segment about Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty says, in all caps, like, he doesn't love that Major League Baseball is the only sport playing. And, but the Cardinals played last night. Mm-hmm. You know, the players decided. Dexter Fowler, very similar situation.
Yeah.
Where Dexter Fowler sat out and the Cardinals didn't follow him. So it is a very nuanced,
it's
very tough decision. It's complicated.
It's all complicated, too, by, I mean, let's just be honest, COVID. Like, you've got this 60-game sprint, and even, I mean, the Cardinals are behind everyone as well because they had to postpone a lot of what they were doing. When I'm looking at the Cardinals, they've only played 20 games. The Cubs have played 30.
Right, and they got to play all these doubleheaders.
Look, I'm not here to tell you what should be placed ahead of what. I'm just telling you these are really complicated decisions for everybody.
Sean in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sylvie, how you doing, man?
I'm okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, long-time listener, second-time caller. Just want to get to a few things. First off, I just received my Sylvie Strong shirt yesterday.
Thank you, I
appreciate
it.
One of the best purchases I got all the whole year.
Over 40 grand raised for the V Foundation.
How soft is that shirt, too, Sean?
I haven't really put it on yet, but when I felt it, though, oh, it feels comfortable.
You're going to want to sleep in it. You're going to want to sleep in it.
Yeah, I might just take you up on that word tonight, man. But also, I wanted to discuss, too, about the movement that's going on in sports. I love what the NBA is doing. I love what LeBron and Giannis did, stopping the games. And I think it's really important. And I think, and as a white male, 26 years old, I want to see this country change for the better. And I think one of the best places we could start is sports. And having these conversations and being open, Sylvie and Waddle and everybody at ESPN, I 100% love it. I really do.
And we'll never claim to have all the answers.
That's the thing. To tell you, I don't have many.
Yeah, we're trying to have the right conversations here.
But
so.
I see what the NBA did yesterday, and look, I think that I was inspired by it. I was inspired by what the WNBA did and what they have been doing. I stand with the players and what they're trying to accomplish with the platform they have. And it was probably a really difficult decision for them to come back and play because I know that a lot of them initially it was reported that a lot of the Clippers and the Lakers wanted to just cancel everything and focus on other more important issues. But they've decided that the best use of their platform, I believe, is to continue to play and to reach as many people. I think it was Mark Spears who was on with Greeny today, and he was talking about Doc Rivers' emotional message that reached so many people and was so powerful, and I think it moved so many people, that without that being in a post-game environment, it probably doesn't get to as many people. So the impact of what Doc had to say and the emotion reached more people, I would assume, because it was done in a post-game environment versus this being done away from the playoffs. So,
Chris, grab that if you can. We'll play that here in the 3 o'clock hour, the Doc speech, if you haven't heard it, after the game the other day, and just again how he's standing up there and he has to talk about this over and over and over and being scared. I thought it was yeah, very well said. And again, his you mentioned, right,
his father was a police officer. Yeah.
So let's get to my top 20 all-time Cubs.
Yeah, here we go.
Chicago's home for sports and the Waddle and Sylvie Show present
a goosebump kind of moment here.
The countdown of the 20 greatest Chicago Cubs players of all time.
That's a fly ball deep to left. Hot back. Got it. Way back. It might be. There it is.
Oh, there it is. The game is over. The Cubs have won it.
Hey! Cubs win. Holy cow. And the Cubs have won the World Series.
By Great Clips. Great Clips is ready for you to return for a worry-free haircut experience. Spend less time in the salon with online check-in and opt in to receive a ready next text to alert when your estimated wait time reaches 15 minutes. They follow all CDC and local guidance and safety measures and strongly recommend customers wear masks inside all Great Clips salons. The countdown continues with the 11th greatest Cub player of all time.
I will see if Abdallah and Bleck approve. It is Stan Hack. Stan Hack played yesteryear, 1932.
Who?
All the way to 1947 as a Cub. Many of the great years the Cubs had there in the mid-1900s. Stan Hack, an MVP candidate for many, many years. He had a war of over 50 with the Cubs.
Whoa,
Waddle.
Yeah, and he had a grand year in 39 and another grand year in 40 with hitting 8 home runs in those seasons.
Do you know what they used to call Stan Hack?
Powerful little man.
Smiling Stan.
Smiling Stan.
That's right.
They used to call him 8 home runs this year, Stan Hack.
He's also from a famous town in Illinois where I believe it's the same town as Ronald Reagan.
He was buried in Dixon, yes.
And right.
Yeah,
yes.
I think he was born in Sacramento, but Dixon, Illinois is where you will find his headstone.
So there's Stan Hack, number 11, caller 25, my mistake. Caller 25, 332-3776, and you'll get a chance here to win a $50 gift card.
You know what the problem with Stan Hack was? You want to know? He took too many hacks. He took 191 of them. He got to 191 hits in 1940, 186 hits in 1942. That's why they called him Smiling Stan Hack. He was speedy. He'd run around the bases and stop and stand there with a little smile on his face. The ladies loved him.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to know what the ladies called him.
What'd the ladies call him?
I said you don't want to know.
I want to know.
No, too bad.
They called him Stan at attention Hack.
Oh,
what?
Hey. What? Hey now. They that kind of tomfoolery isn't tolerated.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great Clips has been
Stan Hack, really?
Yeah, really. He played from 32 to 47 with a war of over 50.
You know the problem with Stan Hack, Buster? We'll take this outside. What we'll do is we'll go to fisticuffs outside, sir. I mean, we'll stand at 10 paces. We'll walk. I'll turn around. I'll charge you with fisticuffs is what I'll do.
Is there anything more Cubs than half of the list being guys who played before World War II was over?
Yeah. Look, they've got one of the longest histories in baseball.
Here's the list. The list is 10 players whose pictures are in black and white, 8 2016 Cubs, and Sosa.
I heard Cap talking about screaming about how the Cubs are only one of two teams that have 11,000 wins. weren't they the only team in the league like early on?
Right, right. They were playing against themselves.
It was a bunch of inter-squad games. Yeah. It was Stan Hackett. He would play Fungo by himself. He would throw it up and he would just try to hit it as far as he could.
In the 70s, when I grew up, if they didn't get beat by 10 runs, they would count it as a win. That's how bad they were.
That's because they were on the Book of Sugar back then.
Great clips have been...
They were on the Book of Sugar back then.
The 70s. Everybody was doing it. It was the time. It was the style of the time.
I don't think he was around in the 70s. Oh, he died in 79. He was doing Book of Sugar in the 70s.
He was out there at Studio 57 doing the disco, like all the kids were.
I think Studio 54 was the studio.
Whatever it was called, he was there.
It was called Studio 57 in Dixon, Illinois.